Chair Champions.
We are the best at sitting in a comfy chair and telling the entire sports world what they should have done and what they should be doing later. Putting it simply, okay, everybody. I don't know if you heard us. We were just joking off in the background.
We were enjoying your opening.
Yeah, very much so. Evan was doing the whole LeBron James throw up the chalk. And
I don't know why. I just want to do that. It's a shame we don't have chalkboards at this university anymore.
Yeah, well, you can just go buy your own chalk. Just go to the dollar store.
Poof, right in the middle of the student union.
You should totally do that at the start of like every basketball game. Yeah. But speaking of basketball, we're going to talk about football today. Or I guess that's the exact opposite. I don't know. I never know what I'm talking about.
But we'll talk about basketball in the next podcast.
Yeah, so again, with keeping with the theme, we've just started splitting up our NFL and NBA into two different podcasts. So go check out the NBA podcast. We're going to be talking about some teams to keep your eye on that aren't necessarily contenders, and also some of the one-man teams that we have in the NBA, and there's several of those. But today, as the title of this podcast will suggest, we're going to talk about the Dallas Cowboys.
Whee! The boys.
How about them Cowboys?
Get you ready for some football.
Yeah, so the Dallas Cowboys, they're sitting at a nice and pretty 6-1. The pride of the NFC.
Impressive.
Yeah.
I didn't think they'd be this good. To be honest, at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, nobody did. And I mean, at the beginning of the season, I believe in one of the podcasts I did, it was one of my first podcasts ever. Actually, it was actually on live radio back then. You know,
nice.
Back in the old days when we used to do these on live radio a whole month and a half ago. I talked about the Cowboys being one of the breakout teams. And they weren't necessarily a breakout team because they were going to get Tony Romo back. And they were going to go, they were going to win 10 seasons. That's what I was saying.
10 wins?
Yeah, 10 wins. Yeah. What did I say?
10 seasons.
10 seasons.
Which I'm sure they want to win 10 seasons.
They'll go at least 9-7 for 10 seasons. Okay, again, I don't know what I'm talking about, apparently. No, I promise. I know what I'm talking about. So, but right now, I mean, they're already at, I already forgot, 6 wins?
Yeah, 6-1.
Six and one. For some reason, I thought they were 7-1.
And their only loss was by 1 point to the Giants.
Yeah, week one.
So. Could easily be 7-0.
Yeah, so they're 1 point away from being an undefeated team, which is better than any other team can say at this point. They're tied with the Patriots for the least amount of losses, and the Patriots are going into their bye week now, and so if the Cowboys win, they'll be matched 7-1 with the best team in the AFC. Mm. And really, as part of the newer generation, you know, I'm out of my dad's generation where the Cowboys were really good, the 80s, 90s, all that, the Jimmy Johnson era, and I'm suddenly blanking on their quarterback's name.
I just remember Emmitt Smith being on their team.
Yeah, Emmitt Smith was there.
The Cowboys of that era just, I guess the 90s just boiled down
to
Emmitt
Smith.
Yeah,
and they're
good.
And I'm so terrible that I cannot remember this quarterback's name. I'm going to feel terrible once I do remember it. But anyway, aside from my lack of history knowledge, you know, I'm not used to the Dallas Cowboys being good. They've been mediocre to sort of good or just plain bad every year.
Year after year. So.
And they just did it, and I believe it was Roger Staubach was the name of the quarterback.
Yeah, I think that was a little older. Definitely would have been before the 90s, obviously.
Okay, then who the heck is
although
it?
Although Roger Staubach was great
yeah,
for
I know.
Cowboys.
Yeah,
I just can't remember who.
Neither can I. He was a good quarterback, and I believe he's in the Hall of Fame, and I can't remember his dad.
You keep explaining about these Cowboys for a minute. I'm going to find this guy for you.
Yeah, so, like we've said, they've been a real breakout team. Right now, they're doing pretty good. They're ranked 7th in points for and 7th in points against. And obviously, the one interesting thing is they're ranked first in the run attack, 164.6 yards a game, largely due to having Ezekiel Elliott. Well, did you figure it out?
Troy Aikman.
Troy Aikman, dang Troy it! Aikman.
See, I had to look it up. I don't know why I forgot him either. Shame on me too.
So. Yeah, it's just, see, that's just how young and hip we are. We don't know these ancient old fogey quarterbacks.
But that was like 20 years ago, so yeah. I mean.
I do know who Bart Starr is, though. Do you know who Bart Starr is?
Packers guy, right?
Okay, yeah, you're good. Yeah. He won the first two
Super Bowls. I don't know enough about him, but.
He was on those Vince Lombardi teams.
Yeah.
He's one of those guys that people will throw out and say, oh, he's the best quarterback ever because he won a lot of championships because he was part before the Super Bowl era, and then he won the first two Super Bowls.
Well, like Johnny Unitas.
Yeah, him too.
You know, but anyway, but these Cowboys.
Yeah, how about them Cowboys? So this was one surprising stat. I knew Ezekiel Elliott was having a good year, but I didn't think the Cowboys would be first ranked as far as the running attack. You know, last year it was the Bills, which was kind of surprising, but they do have LeSean McCoy. Although LeSean McCoy's injured right now.
Well, I mean, obviously we'll get to that this in a second and more in depth, but combining that good running game with a very solid rookie quarterback is just I think the 1-2 punch that is going to keep this team probably in first place to the end of the season if they keep playing the way they have. So.
Yeah, and Dak Prescott really has been the surprise. Because if you would have asked me who were going to be the best, you know, we had several quarterbacks who were making their first starts. You had rookies like Dak Prescott, Carson Wentz, Jared Goff is supposedly going to get a start someday. It seems like he might sit out the rest of the season and then start next year, which to me is kind of dumb. But Jeff Fisher is trying to save his job. Well, he might lose his job by holding Jared Goff back. But you also have Trevor Siemian, who was making his first start, even though he wasn't a rookie. You also had Jimmy Garoppolo.
Just to add, and then you also had some quarterbacks of recent years who aren't rookies anymore, but still pretty new to the league, like Jameis Winston and others. So.
Marcus Mariota and guys like that. If you would have asked me who would have been the best of those group, I wouldn't have said Dak Prescott. Because I went back and I looked at his tape in the preseason. Now, obviously, preseason is never going to tell you everything, but I was really just looking at his form, how he felt in the pocket, his throws. Now,
because it is the audition time of the season.
Yeah, and you can learn things from the preseason. The coaches use it, and you can learn some things. But I thought he was overall good. I didn't think he was bad. There were some things I was a little worried about. He looked kind of – he was really – hesitant in the pocket. He was conscious of the rush around him, almost overly conscious. His footwork wasn't superb, though he was generally pretty accurate on passes, and so that's why I wasn't really down on him, is because he looked relatively good. But through the season, he's been very impressive. Now, production-wise, he's not going to blow you out of the water. And you look at his completion percentage, he's 15th at 65%, which is pretty solid.
Yeah, middle of the pack.
Yeah, and I usually think 65% is usually the benchmark for, okay, you're a good quarterback. So he's pretty much right at that. You're looking at 253 yards per game through the air. That's 17th, so again, middle of the pack. 9 passing touchdowns, which is, again, tied for 15th. Although, to clarify that, he does have 4 rushing touchdowns. So,
I think this set of statistics shows a guy that's in the middle of the pack, but I would say that being a rookie and immediately shooting up to being, you know, productive week in and week out, I think that says a lot about him and what he could develop into as well.
Yeah, that is a really good point, is that he is a rookie, and so it's almost unfair to hold him to the standard of he needs to be at the top. We should be keeping in mind that he is a rookie. Yeah, although one thing that, and again, when you make this point that he's a rookie, you look at some other stats that I pulled up that show more about efficiency. You look at his number of interceptions. He's thrown 2 interceptions, which is tied for 3rd among quarterbacks with 200 attempts or more. And if you go back to like 130, which is basically including Tom Brady, and then also, I think, Cody Kessler, then he would be 5th. So, you know, basically excluding Tom Brady, he's top 3. In terms of number of interceptions thrown. And he's thrown more passes than Tom Brady has. So, again, I always bring up Patriots in this.
Hey, well, that's a benchmark. That's quite the benchmark to compare him. And if he looks that good in comparison, that's That's impressive. But, yeah, just two interceptions after 7 weeks as a rookie quarterback who's now officially been handed, or at least told that he will remain for the time being the starting QB. I like the pressure he can play under. I mean, I think that says more than some of the stats. It's just that pressure that he's been willing to work with and perform under. So
yeah, and again, the other efficiency stats, he's sixth in passer rating. He's third in total QBR behind, I think, Matt Ryan and Tom Brady for qualified quarterbacks. 8.02 yards per attempt, which is fifth. So, again, yeah, we say his stats aren't superb as far as
some of them,
production, you know, overall production, yards per game, completion percentage, total touchdowns, things like that. And being a rookie, you'd almost expect that. The best quarterbacks in their rookie years and early years aren't going to be superb.
If they can even transition to the game, too.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't always work out, obviously.
Yeah. And sometimes quarterbacks start off bad and they end up being good. But this guy, he's being super efficient and doing what he needs to do. And it's not just that he's being a game manager, but he's able to lead his team.
Well, yeah, and to go back to those production stats, yeah, they're not the absolute greatest. They're not obviously not bad. But he also, like we were talking about earlier, he's got that option of a great run game behind him too.
Mm-hmm.
So he can, I don't know, he can take those chances because he knows he's got at least a solid plan B in there.
Yeah, and this is why the Cowboys, I believe, are a good team and why right now I would pick them to go to the Super Bowl in the NFC. It's because they have that balanced offense where they have Dak Prescott and they also have that running game, like you said, the best running game. And so they don't have to rely so much on Dak Prescott. I mean, you look at some of these, I believe we talked about this last week, where there's so many teams that just rely so heavily on their passing game. You have the Falcons, the Saints. I mean, the Lions have done it for years, and I'm trying to remember all those teams, those quarterbacks who are the top of the total passing yards. They're all mediocre to bad teams. And so for a good team like the Cowboys, they have a balanced offense, even if they don't have the superb passing numbers.
Yeah, the multiple weapons. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so they can beat you in different ways, versatility, things like that. The Patriots have been able to establish a run game so far this year. And so they aren't making Tom Brady throw the ball 50 times.
Well, even when he was out for 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Still had a great...
They went 3-1.
Yeah.
They were middle of the pack to below average in passing yards a game. And so they've been really impressive. And that's why they're the best team in the AFC. That's because they're the most balanced on offense, and they've got a good enough defense. Although it's not been nearly as impressive as it has in the last few years. Now, really... The only major concern that you'd really have with Prescott, and again, he's a rookie and it's one game, but against the Eagles, he had what was pretty much his worst game. He went 19 of 39, which is 48.7%. He had 287 yards, two touchdowns, interception. He did have a running touchdown, but he had a 79.8 pass rating and a 69 QBR, which 69 QBR is not terrible. It was his second worst of the season. His worst was against the Giants. And really, when you look at those two passing touchdowns, those came, one was late in the fourth quarter, the other one was in overtime. So for the large majority of the game, he hadn't thrown a passing touchdown, and he was completing under 50% of his passes. So not a good game. But give him credit, he took his team back and won the game in overtime. So even on a game that seemed to be his worst, he still showed veteran poise, you might say, to say, well, I've had a terrible game thus far. Forget it. I'm going to move on. And you see great quarterbacks do that. Tom Brady has had those games. Peyton Manning has had those games. Every great quarterback has had those games where they're terrible for the first half or even through three quarters. But then they turn around in the fourth quarter. Hey, Tim Tebow did that at one point. Remember when people...
Little fun fact.
Yeah, fun fact. He would be terrible for three quarters and then do marginally well in the fourth quarter. Everybody thought, oh my gosh, he's a great player. I got nothing against Tim Tebow, but I hated the hype. Yeah. So, again, I'm I am buying the Cowboys if, for nothing else, I don't see any team really contending with them. I mean, who's going to go up against the Cowboys? Albeit the Cowboys could fall off because we've seen other teams in the NFC fall off. I mean, look at the Vikings. What have they done the last 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Well, and I would say, you know, we've talked a lot about the Cowboys offense, but, you know, some of these games, at least a few of them, I think a little bit close or, you know, a little close for comfort. I mean, they lost to the Giants by 1 point, beat Washington only by 4, only a touchdown over San Francisco, and then went into overtime against the Eagles. I mean, obviously, I think the Eagles were at least a decent challenge. And so sometimes they go from weeks where they kind of dominate their team, the team that they're playing, and then the next week it's kind of a little bit closer. But it doesn't seem to be a big problem yet, although, it always could be, yeah. I guess.
So you think they could fall apart or at least have some stretch where they – don't do as well? Because I was looking at the rest of their schedule. They're playing at the Browns this week, at Steelers next, Ravens, Redskins, Vikings, Giants, Buccaneers, yeah. And Lions.
So there's some challenges down the road. I mean, I think despite the Vikings' troubles recently, that'll be a challenge of a game.
Yeah, definitely.
Pittsburgh, I don't know anymore. I don't whatever Ben Roethlisberger's doing.
Yeah, it depends if they got Big Ben back by then.
They'll be back against the Giants. And obviously that was with a different QB. But then, you know, Detroit, they're not great, but they're on the upswing. And then obviously they play the Eagles again on New Year's Day, which is weird. Because I guess I thought January was for playoff ball, but whatever.
New Year's Day is college ball.
Yeah, nobody's going to be – I don't think anybody's going to be watching that game, no matter how good the Cowboys are. But, yeah, so there's some challenges. I don't think they're out of the – they're not in the clear yet in terms of playoffs or however they're going to do.
Yeah, they'll give them 4 more wins, they'll be in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
That's the magic number. But, yeah, they do have to get those 4 wins somewhere, and they definitely could. But, yeah, like you said, it's far from over. I would pick them right now. But 2 weeks ago, I'd have picked the Vikings, and I was telling you this earlier, and where would I be now? No, and I think the Vikings can come back, but –
oh, yeah, they'll still. Yeah. I think they'll still wrap up the division.
Yeah, but no NFC team has really pulled away. The Cowboys are the closest. And if they were to win, you know, the next three or four games, they would definitely be considered pulling away from the NFC. But you had the Vikings, who we thought were going to pull away and be the top team. They've faltered. The Eagles at one point were doing really well. They've faltered.
I thought the Cardinals and Panthers.
Yeah, we thought
I picked the Panthers at the beginning of the season to go all the way.
Yeah, and I picked the Cardinals, and so. I mean, I'm not looking much better. They're what, 3-2, 4-1, 3-4-1, something like that.
Yeah,
something
definitely not
something with a one Falcons, at the end of it because they tied.
Falcons are looking good, but they're kind of iffy.
Yeah, I'm still not buying the Falcons. I was starting to kind of get on board.
I do like Matt Ryan.
Yeah, I like Matt Ryan, and they did beat the Packers this past week, and so they've kind of reestablished their legitimacy after they began sliding. But again, no NFC team has really shown dominance the way the Patriots have in the AFC. And even the Broncos have been able to kind of establish that dominance, even with a couple of slip-ups.
Yeah, which leads me to think down the road, when we get to the Super Bowl, unless the Cowboys become really dominant, it's probably just going to be another whoever wins the AFC, in my opinion, taking it all the way.
Yeah, definitely, because we know what the top of the AFC looks like. We have the Patriots and we have the Broncos. Those are the two teams.
And that's been like that for a while now.
Yeah, and you have the Steelers. If they can get healthy, I still believe that they can be good. They'll probably end up with a third seed, maybe fourth seed if they have some bad luck. Or really bad luck, they might lose the division. But I don't see that happening. But we know what the AFC is.
Yeah.
That's clear to us. The Browns are terrible. The Patriots and the Broncos are good.
And then there's some teams in the middle that look pretty decent.
Yeah, and you got the Chiefs and the Bengals.
Yeah,
I've got them figured out. They're perfectly mediocre. they're gonna go dang near close to 8-8 because they'll win games against bad teams and they'll be kind of in games against.
And then you got the Raiders who can't quite get it started sometimes. I mean, they're all right.
Although I will say this about the Raiders, I believe it's a sign that they're starting to get better when even the Raiders couldn't beat the Raiders this past week. Which, if you followed the NFL for the last 10 seasons, that sentence made sense.
Well, so, I mean, the AFC West is just looking...
It's not looking that bad. Watch. Yeah, there's some good teams in there.
Whereas, yeah, we go back to the NFC, and it's just kind of a weird free-for-all at this point where we finally think we found a team that's going to run away with it, and then they collapse. I mean, yeah, it's surprising, especially with the Vikings, because it's like, you know, I'm a Bears fan, as painful as that is most years. But even I was like, you know what, I think the Vikings are going to win it on Monday Night Football, and then I don't know what happened there.
Neither do I.
Because, you know, I may be a Bears fan, like I said, but I did not think that was going to happen. So.
Yeah. All right, so... After talking about the Cowboys, we're going to actually make a transition into the AFC. And so we're going to talk about who's going to come out of the AFC, who I think we both agree will probably win the Super Bowl, barring some sort of surprise, or if the Cowboys turn out to be good.
Upset.
Yeah. So the New England Patriots, they're pretty much everybody's consensus favorite at this point. They're doing really well. Now, even as a Patriots fan, I'll tell you, I'm not going to say they're going to make it to the Super Bowl, because their defense is... not the greatest. They just traded one of their linebackers, one of their better linebackers, Jamie Collins. I mean, most people don't really know who he is, but he's a super athletic defender. He's a linebacker. So
is it just to free up space? I mean, why would you do that?
So there are a number of reasons. I still don't know why. It probably had to do with cap space and because he's going to be a free agent, and they just wanted to get something out of him because they probably weren't going to sign him. I mean, it's not like they traded away a superstar defender, but he was a solid starter. So we'll see.
Well, I mean, it makes sense because most of that team is pretty solid, even without Tom Brady, even when Tom Brady was out on suspension.
Yeah. The defense is perhaps the weak point, although the offense is amazing. Yeah. But so the question is, who in the AFC is going to contend with the Patriots? Now, I've got two teams. We've already said their names at least 5 times on this show. That's the Denver Broncos and the Pittsburgh Steelers. And when you look at the Broncos, I almost feel like when people are talking about the Patriots and being the dominant team in the AFC, they're almost overlooking the Broncos, who are still pretty good. Yes, their offense takes forever to start up. You can start a Model T right now in the year.
Crank it up.
A Model T in the year 2016, you can start it up faster than the Denver Broncos defense. But they've only got one loss when they have their starting quarterback playing. They do have 2 losses, but they were starting Paxton Lynch in that other game. So, yes, their offense leaves a lot to be desired, but their defense is that dominant that it puts them in those positions where the offense is good enough to get them over the top.
That, and I think not necessarily that they have a chance of losing the division, because I think they'll still win their division. But they are playing in an improved AFC West. Like, we've talked about this before. You got the Chiefs and the Raiders kind of on the upswing. The Chiefs have been better for at least a couple of years now, finally getting their playoff win. I can't remember if it was last year or the year before that. But then in San Diego, I mean.
They beat the Broncos.
Yeah. So they are playing better competition, which can be either really good or, if they slip up, like with the Chargers, be really bad. So
yeah, and the Patriots haven't had the most impressive schedule. I mean, you look at their toughest games. I mean, the first game was going to be the Arizona Cardinals. We all thought that would be amazing, and the Cardinals have kind of biffed it this year. The Steelers,
these big games, just not just Patriots, but across the league, it's like, oh, this is going to be fantastic, and then it
turns out to be terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, then they played the Steelers, but there was no Ben Roethlisberger, so that pretty much made it a New England win from the beginning whistle. And other than that, they don't really have any impressive teams.
But
well, they killed the Bills. Good, they lost to the Bills.
One good game against the Bills, from the Bills. And then they obviously took care of business the second time around. But
yeah,
not especially not in their division. I mean, Jets and
yeah, Dolphins, nobody in their division. I thought it was going to be better this year. It was decent-ish last year. But yeah, it's not been very good. I mean, let's look at the best competition they've really had so far this season. I mean, without Ben Roethlisberger, I wouldn't necessarily put the Steelers at the top. You're looking at perhaps the best team they've played, maybe the Bengals? The Texans?
And those I think as the Texans turned out to be not that impressive as the weeks have gone by, and then Bengals.
Yeah, you're looking at two teams with the Bengals and Texans that are, like, I believe they're just above 500, the both of them. The Texans, I believe, are leading their division, but it's the AFC South. So,
which I don't I don't think we've ever talked about that division so far. Yeah.
You could be the quarterback for the Browns and still win that division.
Which I plan to do if the Browns would just call me back. I don't know how many voicemails I have left, but I'm going to have to start hanging around their stadium and just asking every front office person.
Hey, can I play quarterback for your team? And they're like,
just let me in.
Sure thing, Evan.
All right. You got health insurance? Yeah. All right. Suit up.
Yeah, you're going to need that health insurance with our offensive line.
But anyway, yeah, so.
That's AFC. The AFC.
Pretty locked up.
Yeah, like I said, we know what we're getting from the AFC.
Yeah.
But we don't know what we're getting from the NFC. So we're going to have to really just wait and see. But midway through the season, we've got some exciting things. It's a lot different from what we expected.
Two ties. That's different than two what ties. Everybody expected.
I think a few years ago we had a couple of ties, and that was a new thing because we hadn't had a tie for a while. But now, yeah, two ties in one season.
Like, were they 1 week after each other?
Yeah, 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, yeah. So.
2 weeks in a row.
Uh-oh. It's a new NFL tradition.
Who's going to tie this week, everybody? You can text me at thejaywalk67. Who is going to tie this week?
But like we were saying, you know, at least this past week's tie was in front of our British friends across the pond, and they're used to seeing ties because, you know, they watch soccer, and soccer there's obviously more draws.
Yeah, there's always draws.
And so at least they didn't feel like they missed out on American football because they're just like, oh, a tie. Well,
well, jolly good, sir. Good game, both you Yanks.
You know, and we're just like, oh, they haven't noticed this is not that great.
They haven't noticed that every American hates the word tie.
They don't believe in ties. That's why we invented overtime.
Yeah.
I don't know if we invented overtime. But
I think we did pretty much.
Probably.
Well, I mean, at least
all the North American sports have like, you know, we're going into overtime, essentially.
Yeah, yeah. All the rest of them, they can tie pretty much. Yeah. Like soccer and, I don't know, does rugby have overtime? Cricket?
Cricket, it would be way too rare just because of all the points that get scored mathematically. It would just be so rare. Rugby, I think, could have ties.
Who knows?
Mad one.
Those are usually pretty varied, too. But anyway, enough of non-American sports because we're American.
Flag tattooed on our backs.
All right. So thanks, everybody, for listening to our NFL podcast. We hope you enjoy this week in the NFL. And if you're a Cowboys fan, I hope you can survive this year of excitement. And if you're a fellow Patriots fan like me, you're hoping the Patriots win the Super Bowl. And if you're a Cubs fan, you hope they win the World Series.
Hope and pray.
And as of right now, the game's going on right now. So, of course, by the time y'all listen to this podcast, the game will already be over. So, sorry to whoever lost. But anyway, yep. I'm Jason Walker.
And I'm Evan Hall.
And this is the Armchair Champions.